report and possible discussion on the report on external audit plans and status of audits by David Thompson, Chief Financial Officer, and Mike O'Brien with Paget Stratman and Company LLP.
At this time of the year, I'd like to introduce Mike O'Brien. He's our partner in charge of our external audits from Paget Stratman. And he's here to discuss the 2016 audit, the plan, and the approach. I also asked Mike to do a little discussion about what's happened with Paget Stratman, because they've been recently acquired by RSM. So I'll turn the agenda over to Mike.
Thank you, David. Good morning, board members.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Michael Ryan. As David mentioned, at this time of the year, each year we come and give you an overview of the audit plan and process, seeking input, and just to let you know that we're on the job. But before I do that, I just wanted to give you an update on Paget Stratman. We're excited. Last week we signed an agreement to join forces with RSM US, which is a firm that used to be called Glattery & Pullen, which is a national accounting firm. By doing this, our clients are going to have access to a multitude of services and resources we don't currently provide. They have many consulting services, IT services we don't provide. Also allows us, as Paget Stratman, to access Dallas and Houston, where we don't have offices. RSM has offices in Houston and Dallas. We're in Austin and San Antonio, so it's kind of a natural fit for us to both work together rather than competing heads with each other. We have been, from our audit standpoint, nothing really changes. We've been using their audit tools, their software, their systems for the last 20 years. Part of their business was they licensed their technology to other firms like ours. And when these sorts of joining of forces or mergers occur, you engage Paget Stratman. We have over 100 projects in progress that we continue to finish, issue report to Paget Stratman, and then going forward, the name changes. There will be no changes in people. I'm still the contact. The team stays the same. They don't have an office in Austin or San Antonio, so basically you're dealing with the same people. Different name. But this is my contact information, and I'll stay the same address. We're expanding offices, so we'll be in the same place as we've always been. But the reason I'm here today, besides the data update, is to go over the 2016 river reporting audit. We have two times a year we come to you, this time, which is before the audit is finished, and then at the end of the audit. So this gives you an opportunity to have input. I give you all my contact information because I do work for the board. I will obviously work with management in conducting the audit, but you have full unrestricted access if you have questions or concerns that you want to go over. Some of the things sometimes I talk to and other clients, board members might have concerns about any financial statement accounting disclosures and just things in the financial statements, issues of management integrity, if there's unusual transactions or major transactions you have concerns about or want to understand accounting, I'm here to talk to you or meet with you. If you ever have any concerns about management integrity or any of the accounting rules or standards, that's what I'm here for. So that can either be done today, or you can call me or email me at any time. What you engaged us to do is to audit the financial statements. That's the top box. So this is the financial statements for the River Authority. We're auditing the financial statements to make sure that they're fairly presented in conformity with generally accepted accounting principles. Also at the financial statement level, since you have federal and state funding, we do the audit in accordance with government auditing standards, so we report on compliance with laws and regulations at the financial statement level. Another part of the audit are the federal and state grants. And there's several rules and regulations from both the Office of Management Budget and the State of Texas that govern what you do on those federal grants or state grants. So the grant audits could be triggered if you have over $750,000 of expenditures on one of those grants. And the final thing we do is when we come back at the end of the audit, we'll issue our auditor's report. We'll also issue you a letter on conduct of audit, which communicates other matters that took place during the audit. And I've got a list of those I'll show you in a minute. I want to share, especially for newer members, you know, we're not preparing financial statements. The Reserve Authority has a staff that's fully competent, CPAs on board. We're purely auditing, which is the highest level of independence you can have in the reporting process. At this point, we have finished our audit planning and risk assessment process. You know, audits are conducted on a risk basis. We have to determine where we think the highest areas of risk of misstatement could be in the financial statements and apply procedures on that. Obviously, it would be too costly and too time consuming for us to audit every transaction or everything the River Authority does. So under the auditing standards, you determine what risk of misstatements there are and you apply procedures to those. So we've conducted our planning, we've done some preliminary work. So you still have time if you have areas of concern or questions or things you want to look at to have input, just provide that to me, email, call, or I can meet with you if needed. From the timeline, June, July, we actually get engaged and do our planning, as I just mentioned. We do most of the work in October, November, drafting financial statements, reviewing the drafted financial statements in December, and we come back to the board in January with the final product ready for your final blessing before it's actually issued. This timeline is similar as what's been in the past few years. It seems to work well and meets all the needs of the board and the users. Now, when you do the audits, as I mentioned, we're focused on the financial statements and the disclosures. We're not auditing the system of internal controls to give an opinion on them. We do review internal controls, policies and procedures as part of our financial statement audit scope. So we test and rely on controls and water sales, payroll, and cash disbursements. And then when you get down to the financial, to the grant level, if there's a major grant that's required to be audited, there's a whole other set of reviews at that level, which is much lower than the financial statements. So I just want to let you know that the report we issue relates to the financial statements, but we do look at controls. If we found anything that was a serious concern to us, we do require a report to you those in writing at the end of the audit. From a grant standpoint, when we audit a federal or state grant, it's really a grant level audit at that materiality level. And there's various rules and regulations that guide us on what we're supposed to look at, what dollar thresholds, et cetera. Those have recently been increased by the federal government to $750,000 in the past. It was if you had a $500,000 or more grant that was required to be audited and reported on. So we'll see how that plays out in terms of going forward, how many times we have to do those audits. Finally, I mentioned this earlier, we're in the process of doing the audit. On the right-hand column, there's lots of things other than our opinion on the financial statements that we give you feedback or information on, what we think about accounting policies and procedures, if there were significant audit adjustments, if we had any issues during the audit, any changes in accounting, we'll go over those with you at the end of the audit. But if there were things, two things could happen that we would communicate to the board chair immediately, is if we had any major dispute or disagreement over the auditing process with management that we couldn't resolve, or if we found a fraud material misstatement that was conducted by management, we would communicate that immediately and not wait till the end of the audit. So as has happened in the past few years, you hear from me now, you don't hear from me again from January. That means things are going well, the audit's fine. So
I fully anticipate that's how it'll take place again this year, but I just want to make it clear that you get more from us than just the auditor's opinion at the end of the audit. I'm going to stop there and see if anybody has any questions or anything I can answer.
Mike?
Yes, sir.
How are you addressing the fact that we haven't had an internal auditor for some period of time?
Internal auditors, normally in audit process, we don't rely on their internal controls. And really, there hasn't been a functioning internal audit function for several years. And so that relates to the control environment. So we make sure there's nothing there that would heighten the risk. If we think we need to apply more procedures, we do that. So segregation of duties is one of the major things internal auditors look at in compliance with procedures. So we pay close attention to the segregation duties over the cash sales coming in, payroll going out, disbursements going out. That's the main thing. Yes, sir.
While you're not expressing an opinion on internal controls, you feel you've adequately looked at them in cooperation with what management wanted you to look at and so forth?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we do. We don't need more than we clearly spend time and looking at those sorts of issues because if we think there's a material weakness in internal controls, we have to report that to you in writing. And if we have any other feedback or concerns, we'll issue a management letter at the end of the audit.
Bill, you have an extensive internal control questionnaire, I presume.
Yes.
Do you have let me see if I can word this properly. We've had a heightened concern of risk in cybersecurity. And while we're a public and full disclosure organization, there are things that we have to protect and employee information and certain other information. Probably the most important would be some of the personnel records and files. Does your audit include any internal control questions about that, or and I'm not sure if we have a separate cyber or a separate security audit or not. Do you know about that?
Specifically with cybersecurity, that's not part of the financial statement audit.
Right.
We do have a IT specialist come in. We're focused on the accounting systems and transactions with banking institutions to make sure there's high-level controls at that level. But you're right to say there's a lot more risks out there in accessing other non-financial information and potential costly impacts. Those are matters that you need to have somebody who's more experienced with IT matters than a CPA take a look at. Okay. We look to make sure that you do have access and general controls over the financial accounting processes and information.
But you're not able to drill down because that requires an IT professional or a consultant of some sort. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, there are no other questions. I'm available to you by email or phone. Just give me a call. I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike.